Heavenly Father, speak to us. Speak into our hearts so that we believe what you say to us and that we walk in that truth all the days of our lives as your saints until you call us home or come again. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I know Karen was here for the early service, and it is probably good to wear purple and all the Viking stuff, but I have to say it. It is good to be a Houston Astro fan today.
He's no. His wife for all
sins. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, Karen asked a question to the kids, but I want to do it for all of us as well, so I want everybody to participate. If you are holy, blameless, without sin, raise your hand. Yeah, she was here in the early service. She didn't raise her hand in the early service. So maybe you learned something, so good. But it was interesting. It was interesting that there were two kids, front row. And you know how parents are. None of the parents raise their hands. And they even kind of, you know, grabbed their kids' hands and tried to lower them. But no, that's the truth. That's the truth. I didn't say, are you actively sinning, you know, or are you this or are you that, or what do you say you are? Or maybe even your spouse, they know you have some faults, or your children, or your neighbors, or your friends. But what are you? And the truth is, you are a saint. A saint. And that's what makes today special. Because we remember the saints who have departed in the faith that now rest with God. And so we rejoice, we say thank you to God for their lives, for the blessings that he poured out upon them. I think too often when we hear the word saints, we kind of think of the Roman Catholic view and we kind of go to that. And you know, the first saint that pops into my mind is Mother Teresa. I believe she's been put into the sainthood already. And you know, you think of the slums of Calcutta and all the things she did, and you're like, wow, she was truly a saint. And we think that way, even the way we use the word saint, right? You know, maybe it's that early morning and you weren't quite thinking and you went to go get your coffee and you locked the keys in the car and you're like, what do I do? And you make that phone call to maybe a spouse or maybe even to a friend, and they come and they rescue, or a child, and they rescue you, and you say, you're such a saint. But what have they done, right? All they've done is something good for you. Or you tell your kids, today you acted like saints because you didn't fight, you didn't argue, you didn't do this. You know, you did what was right. But that's not how the scriptures speak about saints at all. Actually, in the scriptures, saints are holy things. The word that we get saints from is just a holy one. And there are many things that are called holy in the scriptures. Places are called holy. The temple is called holy. The clothes of the priest are holy. Even there are holy utensils that are used for worship. But is it because one place, one hill, one mountain has done better works than the next mountain that it is holy and that one's not? No, not at all. It's holy because God has declared it holy. Because God had said, that mountain is where I will be. That place is where you will find me. In using these things, there you will see me. There I will bless the people. And so it is holy, and that's what to be a saint is about. You have been called out of this world, set apart to be holy for God. You are a saint. And so we can rejoice, yes, in the loved ones who have departed in faith. Today we remember, you know, all the saints who have departed from our church here. And I know there's a lot more family and friends, but you know, thinking particularly of Nick and Russ and Mary and Brad, and how, no, it wasn't what they did on earth, and I know you loved them and you cared for them, but it was that Jesus called them their, or his children. He called them saints. And so we can rejoice today. We can rejoice in Christ. That their biggest enemy, our biggest enemy, was defeated in Christ. That death, it wasn't a scary thing. Because Adam and Eve were told, if you eat of the apple, you will surely die. And they did die that day. That day, they died. Maybe not physically, but they died spiritually. What does death look like? Death looks like them running from God, hiding, knowing that when God shows up, in their mind, he's going to destroy them. And what do? They try to cover them, right? They try to cover their shame. He grabs fig leaves, and they quickly cover their bodies to help them. But God finds them, and he does something about it, right? And it's blood. And you know, as gross as that sounds, it's blood. You know, and I guess from that Sunday school lesson that I've heard many times throughout many years, and even reading it with kids now, you know, I still kind of picture those garments that the Lord makes for Adam and Eve as these nicely tanned leathers, you know, with deer skin. I like deer, so deer skin and all of that stuff, you know, and even has buttons down it. That's the picture I get in my mind, you know, from Sunday school, but it probably wasn't like that at all. I don't know. If it was blood, my guess is they could have still been warm. Blood on them still, and God wraps them in these animal skins. And it's not in the scriptures, but you can almost hear Adam saying, is this what it takes to cover my shame? God says, no, not yet. And then you can track in the Old Testament how it's blood that saves people. You can go to Exodus, and there with the plague of the tenth plague, the plague of the firstborn, and all the firstborn of Egypt are killed, from the flocks of animals, the herds of animals, to the palace of the Pharaoh. The firstborn is killed, but yet the Israelites are saved by the blood of the Passover lamb that is put on their door. And the angel of death passes by. And you can go to the temple, and that day of atonement, and that priest that is killing animal after animal, and he's collecting the blood, and he goes into the Holy of Holies one time a year on this day to do what? To go to the mercy seat of God. To go to that Ark of the Covenant, and on top, that covering, the mercy seat with the two angels seated on it. And inside that Ark of the Covenant, there's Aaron's staff that has budded, and there is the jar of manna, and there is the Ten Commandments. The thing that the Israelites have broken all year, every day, all the time. And what does the priest do? He takes the blood and pours it on the mercy seat, and it runs over, covering over the Ten Commandments and their transgressions. But it's still not enough. Not all the blood of bulls on Jewish altars slain can forgive us our sins. There needed to be one more sacrifice. One more spotless lamb, but not an animal. The very Son of God. And there on the cross, he sheds his blood, and it is probably gruesome and something we wouldn't want to watch. But it's there where we find life. It's there where we are made saints. It's there where we are forgiven and our loved ones have been forgiven. And there they find life, and there we find life. There we are saints right now. 1 John 3 talks about if we are in Christ, we are pure. We don't sin, not that we aren't sinful and not that we don't continue to sin in our flesh, but when the Father looks at us, he looks at us through the righteousness of Christ, and we are spotless. And so when our loved ones stood before the Lord, they are blessed because of what Christ has done. And what a wonderful blessing that is. You know, I want you to picture a little imagination time here, that on your birthday, your first birthday, you were given a robe. And you can picture however this robe, but make it white, you know, white robe. You know, the scriptures talk about a wedding dress, that we are the bride of Christ. So if that is how you can picture it, great. For guys, maybe just a robe, but, you know, just, you know, that you were given a robe. White. But right away, you stain that robe. Maybe, you know, as a baby does, throw up on it. Doesn't quite come out real easy. Maybe the next day, it's that blowout. Stains the back. And every little sin, it just keeps getting worse. You use the name of the Lord in vain, and there's a little rip. You get angry, and you're so mad, and a thread comes loose. And of course, that's all, you know, in a couple seconds, you know, and over this white robe is getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, and it's falling apart. And you know you need it to get into this feast. Remember the parable that Jesus talks about? It's a pretty complicated parable, but one of the main points is that you need this garment. And after people didn't want to come, he says, come and, you know, invite all the people to come in, and there's a couple that don't have this garment, and they're thrown out. They're thrown out because they're not covered in this garment. But yet, as we line up to enter into heaven, it's, how am I going to get in? This garment isn't it white at all, but rather black, torn, tattered, ripped. But then we see a pot full of blood. And we know that blood stains. We know that blood doesn't come out because our moms have all told us that over and over again. But yet one after another goes and dips their robe in that, and it comes out perfect. White. Stunning. Sparkling. Shining. Because it's not just any blood, but it's the blood of Jesus. And that's the wonderful picture that John gives us. You want to know about the loved ones who have died in the faith. Here it is. And really, this is about you too. Because this is all people, all nations, every tribe. He sees you in this multitude. But he asks, one elder asks John, these in white robes, who are they? And where do they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes and made them white. You know, we can't do enough to clean our robes. We can't mend them and sew them and scrub them. All of that, all of it just makes it dirtier. But when we are covered in Christ, when we are His creation, we are pure. We are made new. You know, we had a wonderful thing this morning in the early service. Wes Ord was baptized. And I love it because it was a little different, because if you don't know the family, that's the dad. That's the dad. And you know, when he came to me and we talked about it, you know, he's like, I believe, but this is the promise of God. I want these promises. You know, it's like that Ethiopian eunuch in Philip. He teaches him, he opens the scriptures up to him and tells him about Jesus, and then he sees some water and he said, let's get baptized. Stop the chariot right now. Let's do it. That's a wonderful thing, because it's only by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we stand. It's by the grace of God we can have hope. It's by the grace of God and what he has done for our loved ones, you know, that we can remain faithful, because we know there is hope, we know there is an answer, and we know that yes, this time on earth is short, and he will accomplish what he set out to do. He's been faithful for those who have departed already, and he'll be faithful for us. And so I want to ask again, if you right now are sinless, blameless, and holy, not just raise your hand, but let's stand up. Let's praise God for that. That's you. Let's stand. Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to what God is doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the work of your Son, we are blameless right now. We are saints, called, set apart for your work, by your word, by your blessings of holy baptism, by your body and blood given to us at the meal of the Lord's Supper. Lord, allow us to walk in this all our days. Allow us to trust in you, knowing that you will accomplish what you set out to do, as you've been doing from the beginning. Lord, bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is at this time that we remember those from our family here at River of Life who have departed in the faith. So from last November 1st to this November 1st. And of course, I'm sure that you can think of many family and friends in your hearts as well that you can remember now and thank God for. And so this morning we remember Russ Johnson, Mary Linder, Brad Hack, and Nick Olson. And we thank God for them. Holy Scripture says in Psalm 116:15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." On this All Saints Day, we remember and give thanks and praise to God for the life and the death of his saints. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to eternal life, we remember before the Lord our departed family and friends who have gone before us in faith. Let us take a moment. We pray. Merciful Father, whose dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, rose victoriously over death and the grave, we remember with thanksgiving your faithful people who have trusted in Christ, whose tears are gone, whose sorrows you have turned to joy. We humbly implore you to strengthen us in the confident hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. As mentioned,